Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review SmackDown, but also Monday Night Raw, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to SmackDown tonight. It's fucking Royal Rumble weekend, baby. I cannot bloody wait. And tonight is the go-home show for the best wrestling show on the planet.
I can't believe when we finish this podcast, I have to go back in that office and spend time finding the timestamp of you swearing and edit it out before we can release this. Do you know, Wilborn, the fucking work that goes into doing that? You think that these podcasts just fall out of my fucking arse? Is that what you think? Because when we get back downstairs, a little bit of software behind the curtain.
Yeah, peek behind the curtain.
Behind the curtain. It's called Audacity. And I have to go into there. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
I have to go into Audacity and I have to find the exact timestamp and I have to clip it and edit it and make it like, I have to put a beep in there.
Generate tone, yeah.
I have to generate tone, yes, thank you. I have to go in and I have to download the beep sound off, off Winamp. And I like beep 4, but sometimes I go with beep 6 depending on how many syllables there
switch
are.
Switch it up.
Yeah, yeah. I've got to leave early today and yet you're setting me the task of that. Like, it's Royal Rumble weekend. There's a lot on.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe you started us, like, down this slippery slope. I'll get past it. I'll get past it because I'm a professional.
Yes.
Maybe you could take a leaf out of my f***ing book.
I am genuinely buzzing for this weekend, though.
I'm
so excited. My only request for the Royal Rumble go-home show is probably have some more women entering the Royal Rumble. Because I think we've got 7 right about now.
It's a good.
But please don't add a single another match. I know Charlotte Flair is your SmackDown Women's Champion and they're doing whatever they're doing with Sonya Deville. Mm. It's perfect.
Yeah.
This paper premium live event right now.
The Royal Rumble card does not need another wrestling match or for that matter a Charlotte Flair match. Mm. It's just fine as it is. It's compact. It's well filled. I was going to say the stupidest thing I've ever said in the podcast, and in the immortal words, Mike said, think of the ground that covers. I was going to say, what's the opposite of a sandwich? A sandwich. Because you don't go to Subway and ask them to put dog shit in it.
Yeah.
But like, so it's a sandwich of a show. Because like, the Rumbles, great bread. Like, high quality bread. And then like, a nice, it's a full sandwich, but it's not one of the ones where you've overdone it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gone a topping too many here. Like, I kind of, like the burgers, pub burgers that oversell themselves and overstuff themselves to the point where it needs a stick in the middle, you need a knife and fork. It's like, well, I kind of eat it like a burger, so what are we doing here? Like, I didn't order not that good meat that I cut up to have with a bit of bread. Like, this, it no longer feels like a burger. This card would feel like that overstuffed burger if you added any more because, you know, we have this with, like, when there's been Elimination Chambers and Money in the Banks. The men and women require, there has to be a division. You can't do them back to back. It would be like promotional malpractice to do them back to back. But there was the one, I think it was last year, partly because the sign was on fire. But Becky Lynch and Doudrop was this match that suffered.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for the card, there's always something where the card is like a minimum of a match too long. A better example, it just wasn't a good match and it was in the wrong venue for it. But you remember Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles in 2019?
Yeah.
Dying in that stadium. So there's like, there is lots of evidence in the double rumble era about like to suggest that just keep everything else lean in the middle. And I would hardly say two appearances from Uncle Howdy is your traditional version of lean, but it's certainly a version I want to look at.
Yes, exactly. Intriguing point looking at tonight's show, of course. I have no idea whether Roman Reigns is going to be on this show or not. Mm. Sami Zayn has been explicitly told, see you on Saturday.
Yep.
And yet, you've got Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa.
Here's the thing. At this point, obviously, the bloodline is so great that you are encouraged to examine every detail you can look at and find multiple tragic endings for this. You can find multiple forks in the road. We were all, I think, collectively as a community, just wowed by what we saw on Monday in that first hour of Raw. Sami Zayn could, and I think probably should, stay away from this SmackDown. However, Sami Zayn would have plausible deniability for turning up to help Solo Sikoa in exactly the same way that Usos and Solo Sikoa helped him when he had this against Kevin Owens. Like, and then Roman Reigns doing his, wise man, you seen this shit? Like, looking at Sami Zayn running in when he wasn't supposed to see him till Saturday.
Yes.
With Sami saying, Tribal Chief, you sent the guys out there to help me when I was fine. I assumed you'd want me to think three steps ahead. Mm-hmm. Such is the fate, unfortunately, of people in these gaslit relationships, believing they have to constantly think several moves ahead to please the person that they're desperately trying to retain the affection of. But, and this is why I would like him not to be there, I am kind of becoming obsessed with watching that clip back where Sami Zayn just accepts his fate as the Samoan Spike. Like, that detail to me is now the most interesting one, because we have watched, not the denial, not the I shouldn't need to justify myself, because that certainly wasn't eradicate me from the bloodline. That was, please look at me for who I am.
And how can you do this to me after everything that I've done?
That was a very different kind of plea. But the fact that he wasn't putting his guard up to accept his fate was such a huge character moment for Sami Zayn. Because
Was it called the Zapruder film? Zapruder film?
Go on.
The JFK assassination.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
But I've watched it frame by frame.
Yeah.
It's his head when he goes, well, I guess this is it for me.
Yeah.
Right? Block from Jey Uso. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I feel like I should have probably been spiked by that. Thanks for the block, Jimmy. Jay?
Yeah. We've got lots of content coming on, like various members of the team, with our speculation of what's going to happen at the Royal Rumble. But it's for that reason why I think Sami Zayn won't be there, but I could completely understand the narrative reason for him trying to get involved.
Would this be Solo Sikoa's first loss?
It would, and I don't think it's coming. We might not get a finish here. Like, I don't know if they're pushing their luck with giving a good DQ a couple of weeks ago and find another way to give you another one, but this just feels very... This feels... Oh my God, it's all breaking down. Tune into the Royal Rumble this Sunday. Graphic coming up in the bottom corner.
What, Owen snaps? You got, obviously, a DQ could still be a loss for Solo. So Owen snaps and chairs Sikoa, so he's not there on Saturday?
Yeah, maybe.
Because you don't want Sikoa in the Rumble either. Because
no, that's good, yeah. So, like, Roman suddenly needs, like, in this test that he's going to give Sammy, he didn't kind of anticipate not having Solo Sikoa in his ranks.
Forces out.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks it, pulmonizes his hand so he can't Samoan Spike anymore.
You do have to keep Owen strong, so yes. That would be a nice way of, that would be kind of a delicate way of doing that as well. Like having him just batter Solo with a chair to try and say, Kevin Owens hasn't come here to win, he's come to reduce Roman's numbers to ensure he doesn't lose.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's the best storyline in wrestling. It's my favorite thing. And I'll tell you how good it is. Me and Sid were chatting about it in the office yesterday. Mm. Michael Sidgwick is thinking about and enjoying fantasy booking WWE when he's not necessarily forced to do so for his job.
I like how we've done this now separately in entirely separate conversations, independent of each other, where we've picked our favorites and like he's been like, yeah, it's good this, isn't it? Because I had that exact same thing about the Judgment Day yesterday. Mm. Like the exact same, that's my favorite, this is your favorite, and it's like... The good stuff is great, actually. Yeah. And it's nice. This is it. Like for years, people, and I love that they have, for years people have listened to us and we have a bit of fun dividing up between our own personal biases, but we try and apply a good amount of subjectivity and objectivity at these podcasts.
And it's funny to wind Sidge up as well.
Yeah.
His brain's all over the place, like he's in a bloody washing machine.
Sidgwick isn't one of them, but...
He's getting a washing machine delivered today, that's why I said that.
Awful lot of AEW freakazoids and they're in it. And Sidgwick isn't one of them, and I'm glad... No. I'm glad. Like he just likes what he likes in the same way the rest of us do. There's not, for all the comments and for all the accusations. There isn't really much beyond liking what you like. Yeah. So when it comes good, like it does, it's just easier to enjoy it.
If you're an AEW stan, and Sid has written brilliantly, 120,000 passionate and insightful words about AEW, becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW, his book, if you want to go and get it on Amazon right now.
And you should.
But if you're one of those guys, how do you turn around to Sid and say, when he has the temerity to criticize Dynamite because he holds it to this high standard, how do you do it? Turn around and say, well, you're not a true AEW fan. Are you kidding me?
Oh, they're losers, man. Like, that's why. It's because they're absolute goddamn losers. Like, I think that's the thing. The WWE Defense Force, like, when they come for you, it's not scary. There's just a great many of them.
Yes.
it's a volume issue. They're just idiots. Like, you know when, like, I don't know a lot about AI, but I understand the technology is developing rapidly, right?
Mm.
But, like, my first look at it was quite funny because it was when that, like, Wall-E thing came out last year where it was like, why has Steve Austin got 12 faces?
Mr.
Like,
Wall-E wins the Royal Rumble.
I would believe that there's AI doing those replies on Twitter because they don't make any sense. Like, it's like, they're definitely letters, but they're not words, and that's a bit like those AI pictures.
Yeah.
That's the idea of Steve Austin, but why is he a dog?
Anyway, speaking of losers, Hit Row are in the tag team tournament semi-finals. They're facing the team that are probably going to win the whole thing.
Mm.
Sheamus and McIntyre, at the very least, I sense they're probably going to make the final. In the other semi-finals, it is Imperium versus Legado del Fantasma. Another SmackDown where no women's matches are advertised, which is a shame.
What is going on this week, man? Well, that's this week. What is going on this last several years, but specifically this week?
NXT had quite a few women's matches. I don't think people can complain that much. nevertheless, I am very much looking forward to both these matches for very different reasons.
Yeah, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but potentially another good week for the tag tournament. If some of the action is a little bit basic, it doesn't mean this is the thing about that we talked about this in the review last week. I didn't love the episode, but I didn't mind it being dedicated to the tournament because it didn't make the stakes matter. Like they kind of did that with the World Cup too. You want to win the tournament, you want to win the whole thing to get the outcome, to get the title shot.
Amazing tournaments are actually quite good.
Well, and then, you know, like, remember, was it like AEW were getting accused of running too many? And I think the problem wasn't that they were running too many tournaments. It was just the way they presented them. Like, when you had, like, Rampage brackets, so you immediately felt less for those ones than the Dynamite one. When it would drop off for a couple of weeks and then come back around. When it wasn't clear if really the result mattered. It's not that tournaments aren't theoretically always awesome. It's just you've got to kind of preserve the integrity of them. And I think they're doing that here, in spite of Top Dollar being in one of the matches. It's not...
they're going to mug him off again, aren't they? Especially with Drew McIntyre and how he can go over the
top. He's there to get the piss ripped out of him. Like, to the point where, very, very quickly, I think WWE will underestimate the amount of sympathy that builds Top Dollar. It's like, can we... We do that. We talk about this all the time in the podcast, right? It's not part, like, a fun part of our job to come and bury a wrestler. We might bury a match. We might think, oh, not so good, Al, and things aren't going so well. But you've got to feel like you're always punching up.
Yeah.
I'll have a little dig at Charlotte Flair now and then because I kind of feel like at this point...
She'll be all right.
Well, and I like there is a certain platform that she's placed on and she has obviously enormous wealth and all the rest of it. But like a lot of them don't. Like a lot of them aren't job safe and a lot of them don't have any agency and they're just kind of sent out there in Top Dollar. The saddest thing is like in this case, Top Dollar is... I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Sorry, I said it properly now.
I'm about to make two of the most repulsive comparisons you can ever imagine back to back. Top Dollar is the Sami Zayn.
What?
To Triple H's Roman Reigns. Think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Triple H is like, hey, Toppy D, coming back on board. See you next Friday. Make the town. Top Dollar makes the town. Is Top Dollar. Gets backstage. What the f*** was that? What the f*** was that, Top? Right? So Top Dollar's like, oh, all right. So Shanti the Adonis is like, mate, you're going to have to delve deep into your back pocket because I can't have another one of them.
Yeah.
Top Dollar's like, all right, sir. Well, Triple H gets back on the phone. I've cooled down. Come back next week. All is forgiven. I was a bit annoyed because it's not going so well with Dexter and Johnny either. Oof. Maybe I took that out on you, but SmackDown's a different place to Raw. Get yourself back. Big tag match. You, number one contenders, all ears. Yeah, show me that I was right to make the decision. Arm round the shoulder. Prove me right, Top.
Oh, you might be right here.
And then Top Dollar does what he does over the top rope. What the f***ing f*** was that, Top? You piece of f***ing shit. And now, like, he's not giving him the third phone call.
No.
He's not saying, like, hey, Tab, one more chance, big guy. It's like, he gets to make the goddamn town. Every member of this goddamn roster is going to call you worse than shit, Tab.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, he's trapped. He's absolutely trapped.
Yeah.
Like, he's, you know what he is? The honorary H. Like, he's Triple H's wrestler. He's kind of like every other member of, like, Triple H's, like, Infinity Gauntlet team is, like, sort of him. Like, everyone's Jey Uso from the first part of the Bloodline saga. Him. And, like, he's not got an ally yet. Nobody in the family has come. Like, every week, everyone's lined up to Sokola. Sokoa spike him. Just, even Ashanti's like, I'll do it, boss. Yeah. Like, I'll do it. Like, put me in the Rumble.
I just feel like, yeah, this match is just... I mean, I get what they're doing. Hit Row of heels now. You need a heel team to face a babyface team, except for the other side of this bracket, apparently. Mm-hmm. But it does feel like, right, we're also going to have a former world champion who's mint and ridiculously talented and charismatic and blah, 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 show you what you should have done, and then you're going to get beats the Bodron from Sheamus.
Just company a really fan favourite who's just had the best year of his career.
Yeah, just to remind you. And you're going to lose.
He's going to forearm you, shoot hard in the chest 20 times. Yeah, they're getting beat. But this is the problem, which you've identified there. Like, all jokes aside, not like anything I said was a joke, it's 100% true. But, like, you've identified the problem there, and WWE fell into this trap for years under Vince McMahon, so I'm kind of not surprised it's happening with Triple H. The joke eats itself because they are going to lose. They are going to be made to look idiots.
Mm.
So they're going to vindicate the bullies. They're going to vindicate these comments, and they're the baddies. So they're supposed to come out and be like, hey, shut up, you guys, you're all wrong about me. I'm not supposed to side with you. Like, you've got to walk a tightrope. I said this about the Guns and the Acclaimed.
Yeah.
You kind of go so far that then you're thinking, how are they Acclaimed? Leave off.
Yeah.
Like, their dad did leave them, like, to go on the road 30 days a month or whatever. And it's just like, that's not happening, like, any day of the week with the Hit Row.
No.
More is going to fall. I don't know why I'm centering myself now. But, like, more is going to fall on top of them. And you're just going to be like, more. Like, that tray that the Rock rock bottom the British Bulldog onto.
Yeah.
Another one. Tip it in Top Dollar's face. Like a cream pie. Another. Like, it's dripping down his face at this point. He stinks of it. It's so ingrained in his hair that he can never wash it out. It's gone into his sweet new Nikes. It's like, more. Rub it on his legs. There's a bit of his shin under them baggy shorts that hasn't been got by it yet. More.
Yeah, I don't know how you...
It's that episode of South Park where Britney Spears is just an eyeball floating on her neck.
I don't know how you turn things around here for Hit Row, but regardless, Sheamus and McIntyre are winning and probably facing Imperium in the final, I'd say.
We are.
Potentially setting up, I don't know, Gunther versus Drew?
Saw it once in person. Don't need it again. Thanks very much. Survivor Series 2019, goated. I'm being facetious. It's the Banger Bros. I think I want the Banger Bros to lose in the final.
To Imperium?
Yeah. I think I want...
But Jey Uso is one of the biggest baby faces now, so I'll give you that.
The Usos have turned face, which is going to make this Bloodline thing a bit more awkward. But I think I want Imperium to win. I think
Sammy versus Gunther down the line.
Well, whether or not Sammy's part of that group by then, I don't know. But I tell you what I did think of, because I think Sheamus and Drew is an interesting direction for WrestleMania. I think they have a bit of sport in the Rumble and one eliminates the other, and it's like they do that grinny bit. Remember when Edge and Orton had that, and that was what kicked off their WrestleMania thing. Like, it doesn't need to go that long at Mania, but a little bit of a grinny sporting thing and one throws the other, and it's fine. It's fine, like, because the final's next week, right, isn't it?
Yeah,
so the Rumble will have happened.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, fine. Yeah, so we're going to win the belts. So we'll win tonight and we'll win the belts. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
And then that loss.
You do a big kick for a finish. I do a big kick for a finish.
What can possibly go wrong? Kick each other in the face. Like, Imperium in the middle of the ring, meet in the middle type deal, and they both kick each other.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the Rumble plus that defeat is going to compound the problems between them, and then you're off to the races. Meanwhile, the Bloodline is still the Bloodline, and Gunther has started to quite like the aesthetic of everybody holding all the belts. So Imperium are set up to fight the Usos for SmackDown cards. He's like, I want some of that, actually. Like, this looks pretty cool. And I think Imperium against the last babyface iteration of the Usos before you turn the screw with Sammy, start pivoting them back to being the top heels. I think it's quite a nice SmackDown TV main event, and I don't think we've had it either.
No.
Imperium and the Usos.
Tasty.
So I think that's the route.
But Sheamus and McIntyre win their semi, Imperium win theirs.
Yes.
Sorry, Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah, they are kind of there to be workhorses more than stars at the moment, so.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Of course, the Royal Rumble is this weekend, as I said, Michael Hanflett. But before then, we get Rey Mysterio attempting at least to get some payback against one of our new favourites, Karrion Kross.
I cannot call this, and I never thought I'd say this, but I really hope Karrion Kross wins. It's not that the story would be betrayed if Rey was to win. The babyface has kind of eaten a lot of shit here, and it's pro wrestling. Like, you got to get your revenge, and you've got to, yeah. Ray's got to be able to see the light. But does he yet? Is he not in a pit that you can do this?
Yeah, Teflon to losses, yeah, anyway.
But his head is elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's got to get the Observer today and see how many stars Dave gave his son in the WWE match of the year. Oh. Like, he's got a lot on Rey Mysterio. So I think it's okay to justify this defeat, even though, like, the story suggests that he's got to get a measure of revenge for what Kross has been doing to him. But a Kross win here, it's a lie, but it kind of allows, like, the commentators to say that, oh, wow, now and in he goes to the Rumble as one, yeah, of the favourites. Like, it's quite neatly played itself to the Rumble. I wonder if Kross wins here it's a WWE thing and it's a bit lazy, but if Kross wins by something like a musical distraction.
Ooh.
So, like, Ray's, like, dialing up. And he crosses on that bit of the rope, but, like, he's facing the thing. So, like, Ray's about, like, calls up for the 619, and then you get the, I'm in the fucking Judgment Day wings on the Titantron.
Yeah.
Like, the music kicks off.
All lights go off, lights come on, and there's a bandana in the ring.
Oh, man, yeah. Lore of the purple bandana. You see Adam Cole shouting at the Judgment Day wearing a bandana on.
Saw that. Yeah. Interesting
one
choice.
Colour. Yeah. Colour, but
some people can pull it off.
I'm gonna show that to my wife. That she can be the test.
Oh yeah, that's a big test.
If she still fancies him in that bandana, then we're wrong. That's basically, isn't it? I think, like, there might be some sort of visual distraction, because what that does is it cues up that.
Looks like the hatchet wielding hitchhiker. That's what it looks like in that bandana.
That describes Roman Reigns' 2021 title defenses. Smash, smash, smash!
Yeah, we both watched the documentary this week on Netflix.
That's our new thing now for 12 hours. Like, that's a new thing before the Royal Rumble becomes our new thing.
Yeah.
Tune in next week for our new thing. Our new thing.
This is our thing.
Love that. Thingception, because that was an old thing we did.
Yeah. It's a callback.
Where are we in the podcast charts?
Just like Roman Reigns. Just like the Bloodline. We're the ones.
We're the ones. That's good.
See, that's everyone's slap fight now, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
No, slap fight sucks, by the way. We're not putting that
I was going to say, no, don't take a thing that everybody loves to try and, like, babyface this hideous, hideous project. Mingin. Glad to see those ratings in the bin. Karrion Kross wins. He goes into the Royal Rumble with, like, actual momentum because you've just beat Rey Mysterio. But now is the time on the go-home show for you to remind the audience and Rey that the Judgment Day kind of stuck in his life, whether he wants them or not. Because we know Dominic and Damian Priest are going to win. We assume Dominic and Damian Priest are going to win at the Rumble. So now Ray...
Dominic's
announced.
100%, yeah.
I need to update a list at whatculture.com/WWE called Wrestlers Already Announced the Royal Rumble. I should be on top of that. It's Dominic friggin' Mysterio. But maybe I did put him in, actually. I kind of do track his every move at this point. Anyway, Ray should lose this. But yes. The tradition should be on TV, but just the idea of them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, stopped him in the tracks, Cross gets back up, etc., wins. And then we see him, like, go and knock on Triple H's door and put me in the Rumble. Like, he's kind of moved to have to be in it, and you've put it back there in the fans' minds. Like, Triple H is like, are you sure you want to do this, Ray? And Ray's just like, yep. Put me in the Rumble, and it's something that you're allowed to then think about, because we're kind of all fantasy booking spots anyway.
Yeah,
but then you're making it a bit more overt that, like, it's the good version of something's happening.
WWE have advertised this as Rey Mysterio wants payback. So when he doesn't get it and he spirals further and he finally gets to that point, one way or another, you can fantasy book it however way you want, of I'm going to have to put my hands on my son here because he's been a little twat. it's part of it. And yeah, I think the rehabilitation of Karrion Kross has been fairly brilliant.
He doesn't have to win on Saturday, does he?
He's got that aura again, which he lost when he had a stupid cage match with Drew McIntyre that he should have clearly won.
You know what I really quite like, and I think he should keep, and I don't think he will, because he just sort of like randomly experiments, and I think he thinks, what am I going to look like today? But I absolutely love the leather jacket and suit gimmick.
I like the estate
agent who's gone to a goth night, but straight after work.
Yeah, you've got to go straight out afterwards, so I've got to wear something that works.
I'll bring the jacket, because like I can wear that into work and then just like put it on the back of my chair for it.
I remember doing that once. I did a corporate gig at a football stadium, West Brom or Birmingham or something like that. And then I immediately went out because my mates were playing a gig and I looked like a talent scout. I was got a suit on in the back of this dingy bloody club.
I went, me and a mate once, we were very, very sad. Like long-standing English listeners, not of this podcast specifically, but may remember the Bank Northern Rock and it collapsed. For our American listener or anybody else, it was very tied to the Lehman Brothers financial collapse of 2007. Yeah. That was my first job out of university after I graduated. I was deeply miserable.
Mine was delivering leaflets.
And like, I promise you, anyone listening that's having that time, like, there is sometimes light at the end of the tunnel, but it was a bad time. And like, I'd worked there not very long and already we were staring down the barrel of redundancy. It was grim. And me and a mate who worked there as well, just on a Thursday night, I think it was, went out for like a couple of drinks after work and just went off it. Like a couple of drinks after work, we found a bar that had that red button where you get like buy one, get one free.
Oh, yeah.
So we just stayed in there till closing time, getting all the free drinks. And it was just like, by this point, well, can I go home? Like, we'll just go into work like this the next day. He lived like quite close to the office.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I'll just come out of yours. We're dressed like this now. And we were in Blue Bamboo Nightclub in Newcastle, which is basically any beach-themed Newcastle club you can think of. And we got talking to these people, and they were like, you guys been to a wedding or something? Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe it. Ties around the heads in the middle of a foxy nightclub dance floor, drinking £1 blue drinks. Oh, Jesus, I was happy. I mean, I was utterly, utterly miserable and depressed, but that's when you chase
better time.
Higher highs and lower lows, isn't it?
Yeah. I also want Karrion Kross to keep the Your Next card gimmick, because I'm kind of weirdly into that now.
Who's he going to put on a card?
Yes. Finally, 2 weeks ago, Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt. Last week, Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt. Could The Fiend be on SmackDown tonight?
Yeah! Whisper words of wisdom, Wilborn, but let it be. Let it Fiend. I would absolutely love the return of The Fiend tonight. And the best thing is, it doesn't even need to be... I was going to give this gimmick more credit than it deserved. It doesn't need to be this sort of thing where they're trying, like, I don't even need logic. You know, like how Bray, when he did the rocking chair one and when he did the Firefly Funhouse, they were very keen to say, like, Bray in the rocking chair was like, I am everything, I am all.
Yes.
In the Firefly Funhouse, it was like, it's been a while since we've been here. So what they're trying to, I think what they're trying to do, unless they've just completely given up, and they might have done.
I thought they'd hit the reset button.
I think the idea is that Bray knows that he is all of these things and none of these things. And now it's the time to show LA Knight that you cannot find even footing with me. Like, why are you not scared of me? Because look at what I'm doing. I think that's the direction. I'm with LA Knight now selling it. I think that's great. He's the new Lord of Darkness. So yeah.
Check out LA Knight's interview on Chris Van Vliet's show as well, because it's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's another genuinely fantastic podcast.
Absolutely worth your time.
He's a very handsome man, Chris and LA Knight.
Both handsome men. Just normal, innocent men. But yeah, The Fiend, for me, doesn't need any of that, like, loose narrative explanation. Just have LA Knight be like, LA Knight should predict it.
Ooh.
Like, he's gone out there and said, I saw you out there whispering sweet nothings with the dead man. Yeah. Like, That old bass was never going to dance at the end. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. I saw him peddling that motorbike around. Yeah. That was a careless whispers, Bray. I heard what you said. I heard what he said. The dead man said, you need to bring the fiend back. Yeah. So Bray just does it. Like, he just comes out as a fiend. Mandible claw, Sister Abigail. Like, care for what you wish for. See you Saturday.
Yes. Like, perfect.
Like, that's what I want. Like, just own the bollocks of the fiend. Not as a mythical entity, but as a dangerous clown prick.
I love it. I'm very excited to see how they set up this Mountain Dew Pitch Black match, which I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be memorable, I think is the best way of putting it.
We did talk in a podcast rather than just in the office about using the cans and Mentos for pyro, didn't we?
I think
line
so,
up like yeah. 300 cans and drop mints at the same time.
I really hope we get some
Alicia
in the
Fox
office.
Chucked pop on like Jerry Lawler wants something. I remember thinking like, ugh, Coca-Cola, that's like so hard to get out, wouldn't it? Like in the shower. I mean, it's not the first time I've shivered thinking of Jerry Lawler in or out of a shower, but like, ugh.
Very quickly, before we finish up here.
Yep.
Hey! It's time to play the game!
And that game is, well, we need some more bloody Royal Rumble entrants. mainly women, but we never know how this game goes. I have the WWE alumni page open in front of me. I'm going to attempt something that we've not done before on
Ooh.
This. If this sort of thing comes off, and if not, I'll just bin it off. It'd be fine.
All right.
Tell me when to stop, and then give me a number between 1 and 4. And that is our pick tonight for one of the final people to declare for the Royal Rumble match. But they're not a current roster star. They're a legend.
Stop. I'm looking at your face. I'm trying to read that face. It's like trying to do well in a quiz. 2.
Okay. I won't play the theme. We don't need that.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
It's fine.
Did I kill a bit? Have I stepped on your dick there?
No. If you'd have picked 4, you'd have picked what the internet probably would say could feasibly be in the Rumble. Mm-hmm. But we as people who actually understand women have to go through to a certain extent, you more than me. Peyton Royce would have been 4.
Right, yep. Yeah. Oh, you'd want to.
You know, people, oh, shit, that was gave worth like 2 whole weeks ago.
Get it back out there. Yeah. Come on.
I mean, Seth Rollins was in the Rumble after Becky Lynch gave birth. I don't think you really understand him how this thing works, guys.
He's back already. Neither of them are getting sleep. Live in the same house, that baby.
Instead, though, yep. I'll pick one of the final people to declare for the 2023 Royal Rumble. Since probably not someone who's going to go the distance. Mm-hmm. But I think may have people have fond memories calling back to when he got a gimmick that was meant to be a punishment, but actually got him the most over probably he's ever been. I'm talking, of course, of Perry Saturn.
Oh, my God. Like, shout out to Perry Saturn, a man that, like, kind of has a bit of mystery around him and has gone through tough times and I believe was a massive hero for a woman in danger once, stuff like that. I would love Perry. Like, Perry Saturn would kick ass. I mean, I don't know what health position he's in, but like, yeah.
Yes.
Let's go for that.
Perry there Saturn. We go. That's our selection.
Perry Saturn, Royal Rumble memory, dead quick. Royal Rumble flashback. Royal Rumble 2002. Check it out. Perry Saturn is wearing cow print tights. It looks really funny. It's like post Moppy. They take Moppy off him, but he was still crazy. He's like, my trunks are a cow.
What are you like, Perry?
Yeah, Google that when we get back in the office.
Right, let us know your thoughts ahead of SmackDown tonight and, of course, the Royal Rumble this weekend.
Steve Austin stuns him, eliminates him, and then, but he's got a time to kill, so he whirls him back in the ring and stuns him, eliminates him twice.
Oh, poor bastard. Thoughts, Twitter questions, all that good stuff, at WhatCultureWWE on Twitter. Watch there, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, me and Hamflett back later on to preview AEW Rampage. You've got Wrestle Culture coming your way a little bit later on today. Me and Hamflett are going to be doing an extended Royal Rumble preview that will be coming out tomorrow ahead of the premium live event. And don't forget to join myself and Phil Chambers on Saturday night for our Royal Rumble live stream reactions with prizes. but for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.